Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear. You guys know I love my NBA. And there's no better place to get into the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. So download the FanDuel app today using promo code BOXING. Start making every moment more. Welcome back to another Boxing with Chris Mannix. As always, you can listen to the show live on the AMP app. Just follow Chris Mannix on AMP.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
Hello and welcome to the Latin Snake Podcast. I am your host, Sergio the Latin Snake Mora. I've been on this show enough times to be the host, and I have a special guest here today. He's a sports writer for an aging magazine in Sports Illustrated, but I call him Chris Mannix, the reporter. Chris, how are you?
Only one of us is aging at this table right now, and it's you.
I feel aged. My soul feels like Methuselah. You know what Methuselah is?
Yes, but I don't. Okay, I'm not. I don't like to go through literature and with you, and that's
because I'm poetic, Mannix. I'm poetic with my words. If I had your education, I'll show you what writing really is.
Sergio Mora, the Latin Snake, joining me on Boxing with Chris Mannix. Sergio, I've got a whole bunch of things I want to get into with you on the show. We got Edgar Berlanga signing a new deal with Matchroom. Andy Ruiz with some interesting options over the next few months. Jermall Charlo is apparently coming back. But first, I want to hit one of your sweet spots here. The WBC on Wednesday released in a statement that said, if Jake Paul wins his fight against Tommy Fury next week, the WBC will rank him in the cruiserweight division. Your thoughts on the sanctioning body that once awarded you a title?
Yeah,
I was giving Jake Paul a rating.
Deeply embarrassed to say that I'm part of that lineage, that great lineage of the green belt, the belt that Roberto Duran held, Mike Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Thomas Hearns, and now Jake Paul has a potential fight to fight for that same belt with only six fights, and he hasn't fought one real body. It's pathetic, man. It's pathetic, and it's a respected organization that's been around for a long time selling out, just like everyone else in media, you included, selling out. Covering this circus, man. I'm done with it. I'm done talking about it. Until this man starts fighting real boxers, then maybe you can rank him the top you know, 100. I mean, cruiserweight is a limited amount of boxes on there. So I could see him getting ranked top 50. There's only like 50 cruiserweights. So yeah, that way. But let him fight a real boxer. Then the WBC and all these other organizations could sell out. Other than that, what a circus, man. What a clown show.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I agree with you on something related to Jake Paul. I am an unabashed fan of Jake Paul and what he's brought to boxing over the last couple of years. But none of it has been against the quote-unquote real boxers. And the idea that beating Tommy Fury on the backs of a win over Tyron Woodley would somehow qualify Jake Paul for a WBC ranking is ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. You know what this is, Sergio? If the WBC ranks Jake Paul, that means whoever the WBC champion is can defend his title against Jake Paul, because you can't really defend your title against unranked fighters. So this is the WBC trying to slither their way into the Jake Paul universe. Yeah. Try to get some of that Jake Paul money when he faces, who is the, is Junior Makabu still the WBC champion?
No, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to come back. I'm going to make my comeback at cruiserweight. I'm going to make my comeback at cruiserweight, and I'm going to call out Jake Paul. I'm going to be his number one mandatory. This is ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous, man. And when that man fights an actual professional boxer, you know, for a WBC ranking or whatever it is, title eliminator, he's going to get slaughtered, and this sport is just going to have another black eye and the many black eyes that it's had.
And Sergio, you know where this is going. Do you know who is defending his WBC title on the undercard of Jake Paul against Tommy Fury?
No.
It's Junior Makabu, who's fighting Badu Jack on the undercard. So, I wonder if Badu Jack beats Makabu, which is certainly possible, or Makabu wins against Badu Jack. You think one of those guys would be more than eager to defend his title against Jake Paul? This is pathetic. It is pathetic. You're trying to get in the Jake Paul business by giving him as a ranking that he's not qualified for.
Privilege at its highest. That's privilege.
It's not Jake Paul's fault, though. It's your sanctioning body.
No.
It's WBC. It's their fault.
It's boxing's fault, too, because you guys have splattered his name all over boxing media.
That shouldn't be the case.
You're part of that problem as well.
Bullshit. That should not be the WBC.
Then why are you making, why do we consistently bring up Jake Paul on Jabs? Why do you write about him and put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Not the cover.
Why every single time we're talking about this clown, you and every other sports writer are giving him a platform.
He's doing interesting things in boxing. And I think he's elevating other fighters in boxing.
Yeah, well, he just interested his way to a WBC title shot.
He did. And that's your saying. No. That's Mauricio Sulaiman and the people who work at the WBC are doing this unilaterally. I got nothing to do with it. That's their choice.
It took me over 20 years, almost 8 years as a professional,
to
fight a five-time world champion and a great fighter in Vernon Forrest to get my shot at that green belt. And this guy's going to get it just by fighting Tommy Fury. Hashtag, that's where boxing is 2023.
He's going to beat Tommy Fury, too, but that's a discussion for another day. All right, I want to jump into the big signing this week, which is Matchroom Boxing wins the Edgar Berlanga sweepstakes. They signed Berlanga to a multi-fight deal. In the press release, Eddie Hearn and Edgar Berlanga both mention a future fight against Canelo Alvarez. So let's start here. Berlanga signing with Matchroom. Do you think this is a good decision?
Really good decision, because Matchroom has the dates. You know, a lot of people say you earn with Hearn. And, you know, Eddie Hearn puts you on the big stage all over the country. And that's what Berlanga needs. I mean, this time, you know, last month when we did your podcast, I told you Berlanga needed to get out of New York. He needed to go to the other popular areas, do what they're doing with Tank Davis, you know, extend his popularity. He's a popular Puerto Rican puncher. He's going to sell anywhere in the Latin-based fan base. So with Eddie Hearn, I think it's going to be perfect, man. They could fight him in Texas. They can fight him in California. They can fight him in Chicago. That power is going to bring a lot of popularity. It's going to bring a lot of eyeballs. And ultimately, if they can move him the right way, and I think Eddie Hearn will do that, I can potentially see him getting a big fight.
Okay, let's start with, they're not going to fight him in Texas. They're not going to fight him in California. They're not going to bring him to the UK. They are going to be at the Hulu Theater in Madison Square Garden doing fights there, because Berlanga sells tickets there. This is not a signing, Sergio. That means Berlanga is going to go on this world tour. He's going to be a New York fighter. But it probably is the smartest decision for him, because
look, he's not ready at this point for a world title fight against the likes of David Benavidez or Caleb Plant. I don't think he's ready for a Jermall Charlo type. He's just not there yet. Eddie Hearn, over the course of this year, is going to match him very carefully, probably against top 15, top 20 ranked guys in his next fight, and then move him up the ranks in the hopes that he can get two big wins so that in May of 2023, or 2024, I should say, as Canelo was looking for his next opponent, Berlanga will be a viable option. Because you and I both know, if Berlanga's undefeated and he knocks out a couple of guys, that's not the best fight for Canelo because Berlanga's not on the highest level, but it's one of the most marketable fights for Canelo. Mexico versus Puerto Rico, they could make that fight a monster somewhere in Vegas.
If Berlanga gets back to his knockout ways, but he hasn't knocked out a fight in his last four fights, and he's struggled. I agree with you. He's shown vulnerability. So look, he had, 16, 17 straight first-round knockouts. That's the reason everybody was glued on Berlanga, and that's why his popularity rose so fast. But in his last four fights, I mean, with fighters like, Koceres, who gave BJ Saunders
knocked
issues.
Him down.
Steve Rolls.
The distance.
Yeah, I mean, these guys you're supposed to knock out, and he didn't.
He tried to bite Alexis Angulo.
I saw that.
Yeah, crazy.
And then there was another one that he couldn't stop. But these were...
Four guys. Damon Nicholson, I think.
There you go, Nicholson. Yeah. So if he gets back to his knockout ways, but I'm going to have to push back here. I don't think he just knocks out anybody. He's going to have to knock out a name. It doesn't have to be a former champion. I could see him getting pinned against Diego Pacheco.
Those are two popular
punchers at 168. Both of them around the same age in the early
20s. You're not going to waste Berlanga on Pacheco. Well, like, Pacheco might win that fight.
The winner of that maybe gets...
Yeah, but Pacheco versus Canelo is not as big a fight as Berlanga versus Canelo. They're not going to do that. Like,
just because you're popular in New York doesn't mean that doesn't guarantee you a fight with Canelo.
It means you would make a lot of money. Look, they both mentioned Canelo in the press release. Eddie Hearn signed this guy in part because he dangled Canelo as a carrot.
If he can beat a guy like Diego Pacheco.
I love Diego Pacheco, but he's not fighting Diego Pacheco.
And I think Pacheco beats him.
I'm saying. You're not going to waste Edgar Berlanga that way. Keep developing Pacheco, who I think is only like 20. Like, there's really no need to rush Pacheco into that type of fight and waste Edgar Berlanga.
All right, well, then maybe Berlanga needs to come back and knock out a fighter like BJ Saunders.
Saunders
wants to fight again at 168.
He does. That actually isn't a bad fight.
There you go.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Berlanga's good? Like, he had the 16 first-round knockouts. Then there were the four decisions. He's still undefeated. But the jury is out on whether this guy is a elite-level fighter. Do you think he is?
He's not elite, but he has a lot of potential. And yes, he's good. He has damn good skill. The problem with him was he was pigeonholed in that little circle in New York. That's what I'm telling you.
Why do you keep calling New York a little circle? It's the boxing capital of U.S.
No, you're crazy. The boxing
capital. It's the Mecca.
It's the Mecca because of the old days of all the greats that fought there.
So was in Vegas for that.
But recently, who did you have? Zab Judah, Canelo
fought there in 2018. There's still lots of great fights there. What are we talking about? There are great fights in New York. AJ fought Ruiz there.
About New Yorkers from New York fighting there. They just stay in that area and they don't branch out. That's what I mean. I'm talking about a New Yorker only fighting in New York.
You think every promoter would kill, and they were trying to kill each other to try to get a fighter that sells tickets in New York. They don't grow on trees, Sergio. Edgar Berlanga does, so he's not going to leave New York, and he shouldn't leave New York. You put him in Texas, it's a waste of Edgar Berlanga's popularity. It just is.
I think he made, going back to your question.
Amanda Serrano just fought there.
Going back to your question, I think it was the right choice for him to go with Matchroom. Wasn't he with Top Rank?
He was with Top
Rank. Okay, I think Top Rank moved them very well, but they moved them to where they wanted him to get better. And they did that by putting him against fighters that he wasn't going to knock out. So believe it or not, Top Rank did an excellent job with him going the distance, because he wasn't going to keep developing by knocking guys out in under 3 minutes. So Top Rank did their job. Now Berlanga is going for the money, and that's a smart move.
I agree. Getting the money, collecting a check. Now we'll find out if he's worthy of that check in terms of his talent in the ring. All right, I want to ask you about Andy Ruiz, the former heavyweight champion who seems to have a couple of options in front of him right now. Ruiz has been in talks for weeks, if not months, for a fight against Deontay Wilder. That is a tremendous fight. Two ex-champions. Ruiz has shown a great chin in the past. Wilder still has that big right hand coming off that win over Robert Helenius. But we haven't really seen closing level progress in that fight. We haven't seen it get to the finish line. And now the IBF has ordered Ruiz against Filip Hrgović for the interim title. The title, of course, held right now by Alexander Usyk. So Ruiz is out there with two options. Which direction do you think he should go?
Stylistically, you can't go wrong with either opponent. Ergovic, I think Ergovic beats Ruiz, but I think Ruiz beats Wilder.
Really?
Yeah. And I think there's only one of those fights that you can sell on pay-per-view, and that's Ruiz-Wilder. So whatever's going to make more money for Andy Ruiz, considering that he's already accustomed to making, you know, multi-millions, I think that's the fight that he should go after, is Deontay Wilder. Wilder's only lost to the absolute best in Tyson Fury. There's no shame in that. There is no shame in losing with Tyson Fury. Now you go and fight a former champion in Andy Ruiz that's going to be very popular. No matter where you put that fight, it's just like... just like our last topic, Berlanga. Andy Ruiz is going to be popular in L.A. or in the South or in Texas or in the East Coast. And then if you match him up with Deontay Wilder, they're just two different contrasting looks and personalities, demographic, fan base. Yes, sign me up. That's the fight that Andy Ruiz should take.
I think Ruiz-Wilder is certainly the better fight, the more marketable fight. What Andy Ruiz has to decide in the next few weeks is if that fight is going to be made. If PBC can put that fight together, because PBC's got a lot of big fights coming up with, you know, you got Ryan versus Tank. Presumably that fight's going to get secured. That's going to happen in April. You've got Benavidez versus Plant. That fight is signed. Great fight. That fight's in March. Errol Spence is going to come back presumably in May. They're investing a lot of money in these pay-per-views. So Ruiz has got to make sure that there's money there for him for a Wilder fight. Guaranteed money there for him for a Wilder fight. Because if there's not... I don't know that I agree with you that Hergovich would beat Ruiz. Maybe I'm kind of a prisoner of the moment, but you know, Hergovich didn't look that great against Zhe Li Zhang. And I know that they're different types of fighters, but Ruiz's experience, his hand speed, he's going to be a problem for Hergovich. Hergovich is not going to be able to walk through him in that fight. So if the money's pretty good, and we'll see what a purse bid turns out, like who bids on it, how much is on the table. But if the money is good, Ruiz needs to strongly consider taking that fight. Because if he wins that fight, he'll at least be a title holder, like an interim title holder. This WBC fight is not for a title. It's for the mandatory challenge position for the belt that Tyson Fury currently owns. So if I'm Ruiz, like, only he knows what the landscape looks like right now. But if he's not sure that there is money for the Wilder fight in June or July, then he's got to hop on this Hergovich fight, try to win that belt, and then he's going to give himself a whole bunch of options after that.
I think the risk doesn't match the reward for the Ergovic fighting with Wilder. I would take
less. Are you that impressed with Ergovic? Yeah, like, you didn't... The Zhang fight was bad.
He
looked gassed, and he...
But Zhang is a huge, undefeated, strong fighter with a weird timing, southpaw. It's a perfect example of why you can look bad. And Ergovic still got the win. So that's all that matters. He beat an undefeated, you know, Olympian. And that's all that matters. Now, if Ergovic, you know, gives Andy Ruiz issues and beats him, then Andy Ruiz is done there. You know, there's no more marketing him or bringing him back up to a title fight, you know, especially at this point of his career. So Andy Ruiz needs to go where the money is, where the biggest fight is, where the more action is, and the more eyeballs are going to attract, and that's going to be only the Bronze Bomber, Wilder.
It's a great fight. And if I was choosing, if all things were equal, I'd absolutely go in that direction. But he's got to make sure that fight's available. Otherwise, jump on the fight against Hergovich, try to win that belt, and then all of a sudden you can challenge Wilder again at some point this summer. That fight's always going to be marketable for him. And then maybe you could force yourself into a fight against Tyson Fury. Like, if Fury beats Usyk, and cross your fingers, I hope that fight happens in April, but if he beats Usyk, you might have to decide, do I want to keep that belt or do I want to fight Andy Ruiz?
No, since Ruiz
all of a sudden he's a champion again.
Since Ruiz lost to Joshua, they've been moving him right with names. You know, Chris Arreola never was a champion, but everyone knows Chris Arreola. Luis Ortiz wasn't a champion, but he's still a big dog.
All right, let's talk about Jermall Charlo, who is coming back. Last seen in the ring in June of 2021, Charlo was on social media this week saying he is coming back and he's going to defend his WBC middleweight title. Sergio, Charlo is still a pretty big name in boxing, but he hasn't looked like an elite fighter in some time. That win over Juan Macias Montiel was lackluster, to say the least. Now he's coming off a two-year layoff. He's, I think, about to be 33 years old. Do you think Jermall Charlo can find his way back to being a top fighter at 160 or 168?
At 160, yes, because that division is open for the taking. You know, you have an aging Golovkin there, but other than that, it's open. So 160 is where he should be focused on. But can he compete at 168? Yes, because what, he's 6 foot. He has a long reach. He can distribute that weight to 168. But can he beat a Canelo, a Benavidez, even a Caleb Plant? I would say no. So can he compete with them? Yes. Can he sell and make some money? Yes. But can he beat them? I don't think so. So 160, I think, is where he should campaign. And, you know, he can be the big dog there. I mean, we know that the Charlos like, they demand attention. They like the big knockouts. They like the big shows. And if they can conquer another division, just like at 154 and his brother, hey, that's both those brothers can become undisputed.
Well, Jermell Charlo is, you're right, he commands attention. But part of that is because he's frequently in big fights. And that is a big reason he's gravitated to the level he is today as undisputed champion at 154. Jermall, look, he at 160, he has not faced anyone that really resembles a top guy. The biggest name he beat was Sergey Derevyanchenko. He has not had what you would call a marquee win since he beat Julian Williams back at 154. That was almost 6 years ago now. Wow. It's been a long time. I think boxing's better when it has a character like Jermall Charlo in it. I just have questions about whether he's going to get back to that level. And at 160, like, who's he going to fight? Like, what if he was not willing to fight, like, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but Demetrius Andrade, like, is he really going to fight Janibek in a title unification fight? Is he going to fight? I mean, even like the fight he should take is Carlos Adames. Carlos Adames, again, your sanctioning body keeps getting screwed over. Like, Jermall Charlo has not defended his title in almost 2 years. And Carlos Adames is sitting there as the interim title holder going, when am I going to get my shot or when am I going to get elevated? Like, is Charlo going to fight Carlos Adames for decent but not great money? Is he going to fight, I mean, look, the middleweights belts that Golovkin has, they're not, you know, Golovkin just gave up his IBF title. That's going to go to somebody without a huge name. His WBA belt, like, if Golovkin gives that up, is Charlo versus Arislandi Lara, like, a big money fight? That might be the most easy to make fight in the PBC universe, but is that going to pay him the kind of money that he's looking for? I don't. And at 168, like, I'd love to see him fight David Benavidez, like, at the end of this year, but I don't know. There's nothing I've seen from Charlo at this point that tells me he can be competitive with Benavidez. Benavidez is an elite guy at 168, and Charlo at 160 has looked good but not great. So I think the short answer is no. He can't get back to the highest of levels at 160 or 168.
No, he can do it at 160 and a title.
I'm kind of talking myself into that Lara fight too. Like, if Golovkin gives it up.
You just stole the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Lara makes perfect sense. Lara is a former champion. He's been around a long time. He has a name and he's beatable, especially at this point of his career, you know, nearing 40. And Charlo, like you said, he likes to take these type of fights where they're known, they're aging champions or they're coming up, and he knocks them out and he beats them. I mean, not for nothing, when it comes to Arislandi Lara, look at the fight that he had, fight of the year at 154. I mean, he's become a southpaw sniper, and now he's becoming a banger because he doesn't have the legs to carry out 12 rounds anymore. So that just falls into Charlo's that it falls into his realm, I guess. He can actually beat an aging fighter like Lara. But if it was old school Lara, that sniper that can move and, you know, ring generalship, pop that jab in front of him, then I would say stay away. But right now at this point, that fight makes the most sense.
I'm surprised that he's going back to 160. Like, he's a big guy. Like, you'd figure he'd outgrow 160 pounds, but I guess he's going to go back there and defend that belt. I mean, it's probably going to be against a really low-level guy in his first time back, but if Lara winds up elevated to the full champion at 160, that's a pretty good showtime fight that you could make between Charlo and Lara, 160-pound title unification fight. I kind of like that fight if Golovkin winds up giving up his belts. I still have no idea what Golovkin's doing. Like, that's, we talked about this last week on the show, but, you know, he's given up one belt. I think he's probably going to wind up giving up this second one, and then I don't know what the game plan is for him moving forward. He still wants to fight, but, you know, he's probably going to have his next fight without his title belts. I just think that's the most likely outcome there. All right, big fight this weekend is over in the UK. You've got Lee Wood, 126-pound title holder, full title holder after the mess with Leo Santa Cruz was figured out. He is going to face Mauricio Lara, who has made a habit of
you know, beating up Eddie Hearn opponents. This is a good fight. I think these two guys are going to go to war. Lee Woods talking about meeting him in the center of the ring. I don't think Mauricio Lara even knows how to box. Heck, he's just going to go brawl with him. You know, Lee Wood could have faced a lot of guys in this fight. You know, coming off an injury, he could have faced a lesser opponent. Smart decision by Lee Wood to take on Mauricio Lara?
No, it was not a smart decision, but this is what boxing fans want. They want a champions to take big challenges. And whether it was a smart decision, no, but it was a marketable decision. It was based on the fans. It was based on the fact that he wants to clean up Josh Warrington's mess, is the fact that he feels he's the champ and he can take on all comers. And what a statement he'll make if he can beat, just not even knock out, if he can beat a fighter of this caliber. I mean, he's a hard puncher. Lara's a hard puncher. He's relentless. He has that style, kind of like Isak Cruz, you know, the pit bull that gave Tank everything he can handle. They have the certain type of style where they're always in your chest. The power's not going to be enough to keep them off. They know how to cut off the ring. They know how to fight on the inside. It's going to be very tough for Wood to keep him off for 12 rounds. That's why I favor Lara to win by stoppage. So is it a smart decision?
Wow.
No. Okay. It is calling not a smart
calling
decision.
Calling your shot. Lara by knockout.
Lara by knockout. Yeah, man. I just think it's the wrong style matchup. I mean, Lara already knows what it's like to go across the pond and fight against a British fighter in British soil, and he's shined. These are the type of fight that these Mexicans wait for, man. They wait for that phone call to shock the world, man, and they do it every single time. They throw caution to the wind. British wind.
I can see, you know, look, it's not like Lara is a unbeatable opponent. Like, he comes in kind of crazy. Like, he throws wild. He puts himself in vulnerable positions. And I think Lee Wood is better equipped to face him than Josh Warrington was. Josh Warrington was always a little chinny, I felt. And Mauricio Lara took advantage of that, just beating him up. And Josh Warrington didn't have much coming back in terms of firepower. I think Lee Wood is going to have something coming back. I think he's going to be able to absorb more of the punishment that Lara's going to dish out. I think he's going to be able to throw. Look, Lara leaves himself open a lot. Even his last fight that we called, was it Emilio Sanchez?
But he can take a punch. And the fact that it's not that Warrington was chinny, it's the fact that Lara is a hard puncher. He doesn't have a hard 100% knockout ratio, but he has a high knockout ratio. But if you hear the sound of his power shots when they land and how they affect opponents, you know that power is real and it's going to carry. I want to see Wood is going to act when he gets clipped, man. When he gets hit in the chin, how is he going to react? And that we're going to find out within the fourth or fifth round. And if he can take that power, then he will win. He will outbox Lara because, like you said, he's vulnerable. But if he doesn't take that power, which I think he won't, he's going
to
get stopped.
To be fair, Lara's been stopped before. It was early in his career.
It was early in his career.
Took a first round knockout.
Early in his career.
And it was at that weight. It wasn't like it was at a wrong weight. It got beat by a guy named Elliot Chavez back in 2018.
Early in his career.
But that was only five years ago.
You know what? Six rounder? I forget what it was.
It was a six rounder. Knocked out
first.
It was
early in his career. I mean, those 4-6 rounders are always dangerous. I don't take that seriously.
When you get knocked down the first round of it, how is it the number of rounds?
But he's gone on a serious streak. You know?
Yeah. And Lee Wood's been knocked out too. Like, he was knocked out by, I'm going back, it's also around his career, Gavin McDonald in 2014. So it's been a long time since Wood was stopped, but both these guys have proven they can get knocked out. I think it's a great fight. Like, it's a fun, relevant fight for 126-pound title, and the winner of this fight is going to be a player in that division for some of the big fights that we can make. Last thing for you. Josh Taylor has apparently moved on from his back and forth with Jack Catterall. The WBO has ordered Taylor to face Teofimo Lopez in his next fight. That's a fight the Top Rank was already discussing. They promote both guys, so that's a relatively easy fight to put together. I asked you about the right move for Lee Wood. Is it the right move for Josh Taylor to pass on the Catterall rematch and go straight into a showdown with Teofimo Lopez?
I'm going to keep it real again. Yes. Do not fight Catterall again. Catterall is a wrong style matchup. You found that on the first fight. He's a strong, very short southpaw that just keeps coming. He knows how to fight in compact spurts. He's explosive. He goes to the body. It's the timing that he has. Yes, stay away from Catterall. Every fighter, every champion faces a fighter where they shouldn't fight him again. If they got by the first fight with a dirty win, a close win, or even a draw, don't face him again. I had one of those. His name was, Elvin Ayala.
You talk about Elvin Ayala a lot.
I'm telling you right now, Elvin Ayala was a hell of a fighter. Bring up his box rec. Because he's only, after he got a draw with me, he went 12 rounds with Arthur Abraham, who was a beast, knocking out everyone. So Alvin Ayala gave me a
called this fight against Curtis Stevens. Stevens stopped him in that fight.
That was after
he it was late in his career.
Yeah, later in his career, yeah. When he was already getting beaten and stopped. But Ayala was a damn good fighter. So when I got a draw with him and they asked me if I wanted to fight him again, I said no.
2007.
And there's no shame in that because no one ever remembers Alvin Ayala.
He got knocked out by Abraham, though, in the last round of that fight.
Yeah, but he went 12 until the 12th round. Yes. And that's when Abraham was knocked out.
That was a middle world title fight.
And that's when everyone was getting knocked out by Abraham.
Were you going to fight Abraham if you won that fight?
No.
No.
And I wouldn't have fought him anyway. I'm telling you right now, and this is what it is to be a calculating decision maker as a boxer and the people that control your career. So no, I wouldn't advise him to fight Catterall because it's just a wrong style matchup. Go for the bigger name. Teofimo Lopez, a former undisputed champion. Had all the belts. He beat Lomachenko. He's a name. That's who you want on your resume. A former champion that's going to still sell tickets, is popular. And Teofimo, whether he's still having his issues, he's still having his personal problems, those are always going to be there lingering. So he's going to be there right for the picking. He's ripe for the picking. So I think Josh Taylor is an incredible talent. Incredible talent. And he should go after another incredible talent that's vulnerable mentally in Teofimo Lopez. So, yeah, that's the fight to make.
I somewhat disagree that Teofimo is vulnerable. I think too much was made of how difficult the fight against Sandor Martin was. Like, Sandor Martin is going to be a difficult opponent for everybody.
It wasn't just that performance, man.
He lost to Kambosos. All right, whatever.
It's his personal life.
He's got a lot going on there. But there I think he's capable of bouncing back and being an elite guy at 140. I do believe he has the goods for it. I think a Josh Taylor matchup is a lot better for him than what a Sandor Martin matchup would be. Josh Taylor at least will try to bang with him a little bit in that fight. And that's, you know, I think Teofimo has the size at 140 to be able to do that. I mean, I do.
Yeah,
I think,
but Kambosos banged with him and was able to hurt and drop.
There was a lot going on in Teofimo's world.
Well, there was going to be more. That's exactly what I mean. There's going to be a lot going on.
I don't know if there's
going
to be more. Like, he was going through a divorce at that time. He had a bad weight cut at that time. That fight had been postponed like 3 times. That doesn't excuse anything. He lost fair and square in that fight. But I think he's going to be, I think Teofimo, if he's an underdog in that fight, and he probably will be, I think he's a very live underdog in that fight. But to the point of the question, I do agree with you. I think this is the right move. To fight Jack Catterall again was for ego, right? And you know it was because he dropped all the other belts just so he could be in a position to defend a title against Jack Catterall. So with Teofimo on the table, it's a bigger money fight, it's a more relevant fight, and it's a better fight for him to potentially win if they fight in June. I feel for Jack Catterall, but you know, this was around social media. I think Jack Catterall could put it together and fight Regis Prograis. Like, that's a good fight for Jack Catterall.
I don't think Prograis is going to will face him.
I think Prograis backs off on Catterall, then Prograis attack. I don't think he will, but Prograis has been begging for a fight.
Prograis
Jack Catterall's
too
a
smart.
Big fight.
Prograis too smart. He's way too smart
to take that fight.
To take that
fight. You think
fight.
Jack Catterall is Muhammad Ali? What are we talking about here?
I think he's too much risk. What's the reward in beating Catterall?
You fight, and it's a marketable fight in the UK.
Ruru's been staying busy. Prograis has been staying busy.
He has nobody can fight. His manager, a hat in hand
matter,
right
man.
Now, trying
Stay
to find
Stay busy,
a fight.
Get paid.
How?
Wait for the big names. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. You don't get paid to fight
15.
Just anybody?
Anyone in the top 15.
You want to pull up the top 15 rankings for
Yes, please.
The
and
WBC?
I'll tell you right now, I'll play matchmaker.
So you think, all right, we'll do this right
It
now.
Shouldn't be Catterall, I'll tell you that. A short, strong southpaw that's confident and he's just waiting for that phone call to fight a big name and strike again. It's just like Isak Cruz. After he fought Tank Davis, why is nobody calling Pitbull
Cruz
out?
People did. Shakur Stevenson asked to fight him. Yes, he did. Shakur Stevenson wanted to fight him. Pitbull Cruz said no. Like, all right, that Pitbull's been passing on some fights in the last. That doesn't take away from the fact that he's a good fighter.
I don't know about that.
He did. Shakur Stevenson was publicly calling him out.
Yeah,
and,
but everyone's avoiding Stevenson. Right, he's that damn good.
You're speaking two different things here. Right, Regis Prograis is number one, the WBC champion, right? So you go down the list. You got Teofimo Lopez. Yes. He didn't want that fight. Sandor Martin. You want Teofimo to fight Sandor Martin? You want to be the next guy to get in the ring with Sandor Martin?
No.
You got Gary Antoine Russell.
Who knows? No one knows him. No.
Okay. No idea there. Jose Zepeda. We've gone down that route before. Sergey Lipinets.
Oh, there you go.
How about that? Jose Ramirez didn't want it. Ryan Garcia's on the list. Arnold Barboza. That's not bad.
Barboza's a good fight, but I'd rather take Lipinets. Lipinets has more experience with the bigger names. You know, he's been in there with Mikey Garcia. So it doesn't matter. He got knocked out by Mikey Garcia. He fought a 4-division world champion. So being able to beat a name like that makes sense.
Steve Barboza, Spark.
No.
You think Steve Sparks great because what's his name? Montana Love threw him
Montana
out the ring.
Love threw him out the ring, but no, I don't like that fight.
Brandon Lee on that list? Now we're back at the bottom half of the top 15. Look, the point is, like, if you think Jack Catterall is a good fighter, not a great fighter. And if there's money on the table to fight Jack Catterall and defend your title, you do it. You do it.
Nah, man,
why wouldn't you?
Because it's a wrong style matchup. I'd rather
fight. By the way, WBC doesn't have Catterall ranked. How is that possible?
Instead of Catterall, fight a snooze fest against a nobody.
You don't get paid for those fights. Regis Progre has no promoter.
I know he doesn't, and that means more money in his pocket. He's still making a lot of money.
Would you like to FaceTime Sam Kitkowski in here, Regis Progre's manager, and ask him if there's a lot of money out there for Regis right now? It's not. It doesn't take away from what he is, but there's not a lot of money out there for him because guys don't want to fight him. Jose Ramirez said, nope, I'm going to go fight Richard Comey. Teofimo Lopez said, nope, I'm going to go fight Josh Taylor. You got to go down the list to find guys willing to fight Regis Progre.
He's that much of a beast, man. I mean,
that's why you got to fight Catterall. If there's money in the UK to fight him, you take it. Regis Progre would be the favorite against Catterall. You know that. Regis might be the best guy at 140.
Yeah, but then he's going to give up. First of all, he's going to be fighting another southpaw, and that's difficult. And then you're fighting a Brit in. No, man, I don't know. I just think there's better options. He should stay in the U.S., keep doing what he's doing. He fights whoever they put in front of him. So whoever they put in front of him here in his home country, I think that's what he should do.
I'd love to see it. I don't think there's any money for it. Like, maybe you can get Catterall to fight in the U.S. I don't know
there
if Catterall would do that.
There you go.
So you'd do it in the U.S.
Yeah.
Against Catterall.
Because then at least you would have some judging in your favor. You know, if you go to the U.K. or anywhere in the U.K., you're going to have the fans against you. And, you know, they're rabid fans. They come out in the tens of thousands. Every punch is going to be an ooh and an ah. So you have the fans against you. Then you're going to have the judges against you and the referee against you. Too many cards stacked against you. So, yeah, if Catterall is willing to come over here, then that's a different story.
All right, you're back to work this weekend. Is that what I understand?
Absolutely. All
right, not with me, though.
We're calling the fight on Saturday. Thank God it's not with you. Thank God. It's Corey Erdman, a better writer, a better reporter, and a better commentator than you. Shout out Corey Erdman. I'll see you Saturday, baby.
That's just mean.
You're mean.
We're partners. We're broadcast buddies.
They pay me to work with you, my friend. They pay me, and you pay me to be here. That's the only reason I'm here.
And when we come back, my conversation with Eddie Hearn.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
All right, Eddie Hearn is here. Matchroom Boxing, Matchroom Boxing USA. He's got a huge event this weekend in Nottingham. Lee Wood,
against Mauricio Lara, 126-pound title fight. That's a fight you could watch all over the world on DAZN. And Eddie joins me from Nottingham to talk about that fight more. Eddie, before I get into Wood versus Lara, which I think you're a little crazy for doing, you had a big announcement this week. Edgar Berlanga was signed to Matchroom. Edgar, of course, 168-pound contender, undefeated, 20-0, popular guy, sells good tickets, sells a lot of tickets in New York. This was a guy that a lot of promoters were after, whether it was PBC, Golden Boy. What was it you think that got him to sign with you? What was the carrot in your mind that pushed you over the top?
I think it's a few things, really. I mean, obviously, we've got a good reputation. You know, we deliver for our fighters. We pay people on time. And we don't lie. And that's quite rare in boxing. And that's
a tremendous... Those are tremendous digs right there. You just gave a PBC dig there with we pay on time.
A little bit.
We know what's going on with Deontay right now.
Look, at the end of the day, promoters not paying fighters is not, that's not a dig of the current situation. That's historical. You know, there are so many promoters out there that don't pay fighters on time that, and we've never been that company. So that's one thing. Number two is obviously we have a great broadcast deal and a great broadcast partner in DAZN. Three, we got on really well. You know, obviously I have a close relationship with Keith Connolly. He trusts us as well. He's worked with us in the past. I just clicked with Edgar. He's a cool guy, obviously, as am I. And we got on. And of course, number four, Canelo Alvarez. I mean, look, everybody around that weight class wants to fight Canelo Alvarez, right? We know that if Edgar Berlanga can prove himself as a world-class contender, Canelo Alvarez against Berlanga is huge. Long way to go. Got to go through the opposition. But if you're going to back someone to deliver a Canelo Alvarez fight at the moment, we're that company. So many different things, and the ability to headline him in New York, get behind the event, get behind the promotion, give him that superstar attention. And I'm excited. I like this guy. I think he's a big character.
He is a big character. And you alluded to it, though. He has to prove that he's a world-level fighter. And I think that is an open question with Edgar Berlanga. He looked great in his first 16 fights, all knockouts. Last four, he's gone the distance, no shame in that, but he was knocked down two fights previously. In his last fight, he attempted to bite his opponent, which got him a six-month suspension. Like, what is the plan for Edgar Berlanga in 2023 to get him to a Canelo fight?
Well, definitely less biting. But I just think that there was so much hype around the 16 first round KOs, and then he carried a little bit of an injury, and I just think went through the opposition, fought a couple of different styles. But that's okay, because those fights will enable us to get the fights that we need. You know, people believe they can beat Edgar Berlanga. You know, it's not like the last couple of performances have made people think he's Artur Beterbiev. You know, he's just, they believe they can beat him. What we need to do is get a top 15 guy or there or thereabouts for the first one. And then we need a top 10 guy for the second one. And then we need to start calling out Canelo Alvarez. That's what we need to do. But it's a long way to go, And I know, Chris, you've been part of those big Las Vegas events. If Berlanga can display the credentials to fight Canelo Alvarez, that's a blockbuster. But, there's a long way to go for that fight.
When do you expect him to make his debut?
June. Yeah, beginning of June, around that date. And we want one of those guys, world title challenger, top 15 guy, and I can't give you any names at the moment because we're only just starting to work towards that with Edgar and the team. But exciting. He turned up in a meeting wearing a big mink coat, with a chains around his neck. He's friends with all these big rappers, and he brings that little bit of celebrity status as well. And I like him. I think he's a character. I think he's what boxing needs.
He's definitely a character. I think
He's got the style. I think we'll see if he has the substance. We're going to find out if you get him in those top 15 fights, top 10 fights. If he wins those, it is a monster. I agree with you against Canelo in a following fight. But I want to see, let's see what he's got, you know, in these first couple of deals with his Matchroom contract. You were photographed recently with Conor McGregor. And you talked about meeting with Conor McGregor specifically about Katie Taylor. How did that meeting go?
It was a wild experience. I mean, like, I'm not in awe of many people, but I'm a fan, you know, like I felt like a bit of a fanboy. Conor McGregor, you know, I've flown over to Ireland. I've gone down his pub, the Black Forge, right? I've turned up, I've gone to the table over the back. Next thing, I'm trying one of his new Black Forge Irish stouts. I'm trying one of his proper 12 apple whiskies. We got steak being cooked in front of, I mean, it was just bundles of energy, you know, and all the things that I've seen from Conor McGregor. I mean, it was almost like the same personality I've seen at the press conferences over the years. And just someone with a lot of passion, obviously, for Katie Taylor and for Irish sport, a lot of passion for fight sports, passion for his brands. And yeah, it was a fun day. It was a really fun day. You know, we talked about the problem with the costs of staging a Katie Taylor fight at Croke Park. We talked about, you know, the probability of moving that to an arena and then doing Croke Park in September. We talked about his support for the shows via his brands and sponsorships and stuff like that. And, you know, it was productive. It was exciting. And, you know, I think he's going to be hopefully a help to bring that fight to Croke Park. Unlikely for May, but certainly for September.
So you think Katie Taylor back-to-back fights in Ireland this year?
Yeah, I think maybe not even leave. You know, I mean, Katie would always tell you she has another 10 fights to go, you know. But right now, she is looking at the undisputed champions. She's looking at Amanda Serrano. She's looking at Chantel Cameron. And she's looking at Alicia Baumgartner. You know, they are three tremendous fights. There are so many great fights to be made in women's boxing right now. And it's so refreshing, Chris, that you can actually make them. Like, I know I can make... We've already made Taylor Serrano too. I know I could make Taylor Cameron tonight. I could make Taylor Baumgartner tonight. You know? And it's like, it's just so refreshing. And they're delivering every time, the fights. It's not like we're making a big fight and it's not really performing. Everyone's a cracker. So it's a great time.
You talked about delivering. Can you make Baumgartner Michaela Mayer too?
Well, let's just make one thing clear. All right. Michaela Mayer came out recently and said, oh, Eddie Hearn can't afford the rematch. I'm not even looking at the rematch. Like, I'm looking at Baumgartner fighting in Detroit, probably in an undisputed fight. I mean, firstly, she may have to fight Choi if Choi comes out hiding. Number two, like, she wants to fight Chantel Cameron. She wants to fight Katie Taylor. We're not sitting here. We have no problem fighting Michaela Mayer. But Michaela Mayer does not stop talking about that fight. Michaela Mayer, quite frankly, can't actually sleep at night until she gets that rematch. So if you want it that badly, speak to your promotional company and make us an offer. It's not like we don't. It's a voluntary defense for us. It's a big fight. I'm open to it. Maybe we'll make an offer. But it's not like, oh, you haven't got the money to make an offer. Top Rank paid Alicia Baumgartner an absolute fortune for that first fight. She got more than Michaela Mayer, right? She won. She's now the undisputed champion. You better make sure that next offer is a lot bigger.
You've got Erica Cruz out there as well. I spoke to her last week, and she wants to stay at 126, but she says she would take on Baumgartner 130. You almost owe her something. Like, she fought incredibly with that cut.
You messaged me, didn't you? Like, it was after the fight, saying, I'm doing an interview with Cruz. Someone's got to give her some love. And I'm saying, look, she's like, her stock has just gone through the roof. Not a lot of people knew Erica Cruz. Her performance was incredible. And listen, through the halfway stage, I thought she was winning the fight. I didn't give her many rounds in the back end, but she got cut and, you know, she got hurt a little bit. And, you know, I love Baumgartner against Cruz. I think that's a tremendous fight. But Erica Cruz has a big future. 26, 30, wherever it may be. But I put her in that mix now. Of all, you know, those fighters that are willing to take on anyone. And she's going to be in a big fight.
So you got a big fight this weekend. Lee Wood defending his full title now, now that the Santa Cruz stuff is settled, against Mauricio Lara. Eddie, I believe they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You put Mauricio Lara in with your champion, or wasn't a champion at the time, but was a champion, Josh Warrington. Lara beat him up pretty good, but it changed the trajectory of his career. And now here you go again with Mauricio Lara against Lee Wood. And Lee Wood is out there saying he's going to stand in the middle of the ring and trade with this guy, which doesn't feel like great strategy. I know Lee Wood's a different fighter than Josh Warrington, but, you know, why make this fight? And what are you expecting in this fight?
Well, I mean, firstly, how refreshing is it that you see a champion choose a voluntary defense and be a near 3-1 outsider in front of 10,000 home fans, right? So for me as a promoter, I love fights like this because, you know, if I'm, when Lee Wood beat Michael Conlon in fight of the year, knockout of the year, whatever you want to call it, I said to Lee Wood, time for you to come back to the arena, have a nice, easy, voluntary defense. And he said to me, I don't really like easy voluntary defenses because that means not mega money. He said, but also I like, you know, I don't really fight well against low-level opposition. So I said, what about Kiko Martinez? That's a good fight for you. And he said, with Ben Davison, what about Mauricio Lara? And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know, and he said to me, we think that's, you know, Kiko's almost as dangerous as Lara. We know it's a big money fight and we feel, if we beat Lara off the Conlon fight, we'll pretty much be number one in the division. And we think it's, and I couldn't believe it. And when he got injured at the back end of last year, people felt like he pulled out of the fight to avoid Mauricio Lara. He chose him in the first place. And when he came back, he went, the only fight I want is Mauricio Lara. I mean, I've just been watching Lara hit pads. Like, this guy is pound for pound one of the biggest punchers in boxing. He's 24. Lee Wood's 34. But Ben Davison and Lee Wood see something in Mauricio Lara. And there are still, Chris, unanswered questions about Mauricio Lara. I mean, I know he walked through Josh Warrington, great performance, but, you know, he's been around. It's not like this guy's just emerged. Like, you don't just pop up out of nowhere and become a pound-for-pound great. He's always had a reputation as the puncher and he's vicious and he's ferocious. But what happens in deep waters? Lee Wood, I believe, is banking on deep waters. And by the way, Lee Wood can really punch, but they both can. It's a tremendous fight. I mean, watch it through your fingers, watch it on the edge of your seat, bring a spare pair of pants. Like, this could be a classic on Saturday night. And fair play to Lee Wood and fair play to Mauricio Lara. You know, this is a fight that could turn him into a star.
No, I think I see what Wood and Ben Davison see in that. Lara can hit, but he's also very hittable. Like, we saw that even in his last fight. He can get caught coming in with some of these kind of rushes he puts on fighters. And if they're smart, they can land something big against him. But it is a tremendous fight. It's one I don't expect to ultimately go to a decision. A couple of things before I let you go. You work with Filip Hrgović. There's an IBF eliminator scheduled at the end of the month with Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz is also someone that's been talking about a fight with Deontay Wilder. I don't know what Deontay Wilder's future is, if he's available to be worked with other promoters now as well. How do you think that all shakes out with the IBF eliminator? You think Ruiz is going to be part of it? Is Hrgović going to get his shot? How do you see the next few weeks playing out there?
Yeah, I mean, Wilder and Ruiz are both with PBC. Well, Wilder maybe, I don't know. You know, I've just seen speculation out there of him talking to other promoters and stuff. But I was surprised because I like Ruiz against Wilder. I think it's a tremendous fight. But it seems like Andy Ruiz wants to move ahead with the Hrgović fight because there's been a lot of discussions, negotiations, emails, been a lot of work put in by Tom Brown around that fight. And his purse bids next week for that fight. Great fight, Ruiz against Hrgović. So I guess they're going to wait to see what the purse bid is for that fight and decide whether they want to proceed with that fight. The winner is mandatory to Usyk at the moment. See what happens with a Fury fight. And I don't know what Deontay Wilder is going to do. But, you know, I'm not sure either whether Ruiz will fight Hrgović. But certainly at the moment, they want to progress with the purse bid next week.
Are you in a position where, you know, to make that fight happen, you could aggressively bid on that fight? Is that a fight that you could see Matchroom, you know, getting in on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a good purse split for Filip Hrgović as well. And Andy Ruiz is a big name fighter. He's a very good fighter. I like the fight. You know, it's almost Andy Ruiz, similar style, Filip Hrgović to AJ. Stand up, European style heavyweight, good jab, you know, decent movement and athleticism. But Andy Ruiz is a very good fighter as well. I don't think that fight's going to generate the kind of money for Andy Ruiz that the Wilder fight would. But at the same time, you know, maybe they like their position with the IBF. The mandatory is due sooner than the WBC one. Clearly, there's some issues with Wilder and PBC, because I think that fight would have got made otherwise. It's a good fight. So I'm not too sure, but you know, we'll be right in the thick of things.
Last thing for you. I want to get your take on kind of the state of boxing on television, specifically in the U.S. I mean, your fights in the U.S. are on DAZN. We have seen in the last year Fox Sports effectively getting out of the boxing business. There's a shakeup going on at Showtime right now that have led to questions about what its business with boxing will look like in the long term. ESPN still does top-ranked boxing, but there's a big NBA contract that's coming up that they're going to have to deal with. There's UFC contracts coming up that they have to deal with. It just seems like boxing, in a way, is in a perilous position when it comes to broadcasting, especially in the United States. How do you see it? How do you see boxing's future in terms of where of broadcasting, where it lands, and how it's distributed?
I think boxing's a great survivor. You know, there's always broadcasters who want to be involved in the boxing business. Some come and go. Some stay around forever. New ones pop up. And it just keeps evolving. Right now, DAZN in America is by far in the best position it's ever been in terms of subscriber numbers, in terms of loyalty from fans and subscribers, in terms of content, schedule, value for money, everything. We love our position at the moment. We love it. You know, Showtime, I don't know about the rumors. You know, I see the numbers on Showtime and the viewership numbers are dwindling in comparison to what they used to do and the fights they used to do as well. Fox, yeah, looks like they're not doing much at the moment. ESPN, great platform, top rank, good promotional company, got some good fighters. You know, I think they're doing solid numbers and we'll see. We focus on our own business, which is very secure and has great potential in America. We know the Canelo Alvarez business. We know, you know, the Hispanic fight fans are extremely passionate and loyal to the service. And we cater for them week in, week out with a fantastic global schedule. So I think fine, Chris. Like, we're always under pressure to make great fights like that. And we have to keep making them. I have no idea what's going to happen with Tank against Ryan Garcia. Hopefully fights like that get made, because we need to make sure we make fights like that, because it's going to keep the boxing buzz circling. And, you know, really boxing is cyclical. But at the same time, you make one big fight and it's the hottest sport in the world. You know, you go a couple of months without a big fight and it's dying. But boxing, in my opinion, is very healthy.
How strong do you feel DAZN's business model is at this point? Because you've spoken about the ups and downs of the last 5 years and, you know, some of the course corrections you've had to make along the way. Like, as you sit here right now in early February, like, how confident are you in that business model succeeding in the U.S.?
I mean, it's succeeded already. You know, don't forget, it's been around for a number of years now. We came in, we made mistakes, we signed big names, we readjusted, we realized that many fighters in this space are overpaid in terms of their commercial value. We now have the numbers right with the zone. We now feel like we have the right stable. Another great signing with Edgar Belenga. We really feel like we have the right reputation. And the Twitter space is very aggressive from Fight fans. But one thing I stand by is that the value to Fight fans on the zone is unrivaled. The global schedule and the value of fights continuously. Now, you look at the schedule upcoming, you know, it's unbelievable. And as a Fight fan, I just think it's the most tremendous service. And mostly the numbers always have to work. And I don't, you know, I don't own DAZN, contrary to, you know, speculation. And I'm not DAZN. I'm Matra. And I can't speak on their behalf. But one thing I can tell you is the numbers are working. The viewership is working. The subscriber base is where it needs to be. And we feel like we have incredible customer loyalty for fight fans right now. And I believe streaming, you know, app-based value to fight to fans in general is the future. And I feel like we're in a tremendous place.
Well, Eddie, I'm sure you'll be congratulating somebody on Saturday after Wood Lara, your two fighters fighting for the 126-pound title. Appreciate the time, man, and we'll see you back in the U.S. real soon.
Cheers, Chris. Bye, mate.
And when we come back, this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. So this audience knows me as a boxing guy, but you probably also know me as an NBA guy. And I'm also an NBA gambling guy. That's why I use FanDuel, because the midway point of the NBA season is here. And now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you could bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/boxing. That's FanDuel.com/boxing. Think of me as the boxing guy, but also an NBA guy. FanDuel.com/boxing to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, let me start this segment by telling the audience that my picks are going to get better. I had a tough week last week, and I should have known better. I should have known better to think that Ray Vargas could jump up like two weight classes in a couple of years and beat someone like Oshaki Foster. I blew it. I should have known better. I was watching that fight on Showtime. In the first round, I knew I'd blown it. So I apologize to the audience and to the gamblers that rely on me. I take a lot of care in making these picks, and I will be better. I blew that one. I should have done more research on Ray Vargas. I should have known that despite his height, he was not going to be able to compete with the strength of Oshaki Foster. This week, I'm giving you a great bet. I'm giving you an underdog, a chance to make some money. Lee Wood, Mauricio Lara, 126-pound title fight over in the UK. Lee Wood is the champion. He is also the underdog, plus 210 against Mauricio Lara. Look, I understand why. Lara is a beast. He is one of the strongest guys in this division, and it was just a couple of years ago he went to the UK and knocked out Josh Warrington. Nope, changed the trajectory of his career with that knockout. But Lee Wood, I'm telling you, he's not Josh Warrington. Lee Wood is bigger, he's stronger, he's tougher, he's going to throw more punches back. I like Lee Wood to win this fight. Take Lee Wood to win at plus 210. Method of victory, I am predicting a Lee Wood knockout. Plus 370 for Lee Wood to win by knockout. Both these guys have been KO'd in their careers. Both these guys KO'd a long time ago. But I know Lee Wood and his team. I know Ben Davison, his trainer. They wouldn't have taken this fight, which they didn't have to, if they didn't see something in Mauricio Lara that was open. Lee Wood's been very clear. He's coming out, and he's going to rumble with this guy. So I think this fight ends by knockout one way or the other, and I'm predicting Lee Wood plus 370 to win by knockout. This is the week I get back on track, everybody. So take these picks, take them to the bank. These are my picks, brought to you by FanDuel. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Sergio Mora and Eddie Hearn for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.